bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba.
Monday. I almost said Sunday because it's so sunny out there.
You would have been wrong.
I know. Don't you just, I don't mind this cold weather. It's not even really that cold. But as long as there's blue sky and sunshine.
Then that's good news for everybody.
Changes your whole mood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. I was going to give a phone number, but I was going to give the wrong phone number. So what is the correct phone number for the bonus hour?
312-235-2525.
Yeah.
312-235-2525.
That's it. That's the more accurate phone number for the bonus hour. I have to tell you something. I hope other people will appreciate this story. I think you and I will get it because we do this for a living. We interview people for a living. That's part of our job, is to interview people. On my way home on Friday, I was flipping around and I found there's a talk show that Sandra Bernhardt hosts that I normally don't like. As much as I like Sandra Bernhardt.
Not a good interviewer?
No, because this will sound horrible, but it's true. I think she only asks questions so that she can tell a story about herself. It's very selfish, right? You know what I mean, though. You've heard people do that, right?
Well, I do that sometimes and get it. But, I mean, don't you sometimes try to relate to...
Without a doubt. But I think whoever her guest is, in her mind, it's not that important that whoever Henry Kissinger's sitting there. I'm going to tell a story about the time I did something and Henry Kissinger can listen to that story.
I guess.
That's the way...
But I like to know... if I'm listening to the show and I like the person, I kind of like to find out
about them,
too. But yeah. She does it in a different way. Like horn-tooting a little bit?
Yeah, a lot of bit.
Attention grabbing?
And I like her
a lot. Yeah.
And
I know you do.
When I heard she had her own talk show, I go, well, this is going to be money in the bank. You can't go wrong with Sandra Bernhardt talking to famous people. But every time I listen, I come away disappointed going, that guest didn't have to be there. You know, she could have just talked to herself about herself. So the guest is Justine Bateman. Now I say to myself, well, I can't miss this.
Well, you've always had a crush on her.
Love Justine Bateman.
I had a crush on her.
Yeah. How could you
Mallory?
Not? Oh, yeah. Mallory Keaton, perfect, right? So I settle in to enjoy 45 minutes of...
You settle in.
Yes. I pull over to the side of the road because I don't want to be driving and be wowed by whatever is said. I don't want it to be a dangerous situation for anybody. So Justine Bateman has written a book about fame and how fleeting fame is, right? The whole topic of the book is, for people who don't know, she was on a very popular television show for years and went from kind of being obscure, nobody knew who she was, to all of a sudden she's in your living room every week, everybody knows her and loves her. And she said how many people were listening every week or watching the show every week. It was like 32 million or something.
It was highly rated.
It's a lot of people, you know? So the book is about what it's like for somebody to live that life of no one knowing you, to everywhere you go, everybody knowing you, to then the show's not on anymore, nobody cares about you anymore. That's the whole book. So then I say to myself, not only is this going to be great, but we should try to get her.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to her about that.
And it's an interesting topic.
Everybody wins, right? Great topic, great book. I get to talk to her. You get to talk to her. Who loses in that equation? But then she said something that was very disturbing to me. Tell me if you also find this disturbing.
Is this disturbing enough to not want to have her on?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Plus, this is one of your crush girls.
Up until this moment in the interview, I was going to call Jasmine right then and there, but I didn't want to miss a second of Justine Bateman. But I was going to say, whatever it takes, get Justine Bateman on the show. I want to talk to her about her life, about the book, about what it used to be like to be on Family Ties, right? Not Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
What could it be? Something like, I love smoking or smoking is good for you or something like that?
My guess is Justine Bateman smokes. I'm going to give in to that. Or if she doesn't now, she did in the past. She just seems like she probably smoked. I'm fine with that. We've had 11 other guests on in the last 12 months that have smoked.
That's a deal breaker for you, although,
it'd be a deal breaker if Justine Bateman said, let's have a relationship. I'd go, Justine, you smoke. I can't.
Well, first, hopefully you'd say, no, I can't. I'm
married. And you smoke, I'd say.
Jeez.
that wasn't going to happen anyway.
It could have with Molly Ringwald, so who knows?
All right. Didn't know my wife at the time. All right, so here's what happens.
I'm dying to know.
Maybe this is too personal for me, but she said to Sandra Bernhardt, who in between stories about Sandra Bernhardt, she said, you know, I'm traveling all over the place now touting the book. I go on all these local radio talk shows and I tell them how difficult my life has been to go from obscurity to fame to obscurity. And all they want to know is, oh, tell us about those years over at Family Ties. That must have been exciting to be on Family Ties. And she gets mad and she goes, aren't you hearing what I'm saying? I wasn't famous, then I was, and then I wasn't anymore. That's horrible. And all they want to know is about the famous years. And I went, that's kind of the way I would have played it, though. I would have said,
it's key to the story.
It's so key to the story. It's the most important part of the story. Without that,
you don't have a book.
Nobody cares, right? You can't just come on because you're Jason Bateman's sister. That's not going to sell any books. I tried. I wrote a book called I'm Jason Bateman's Sister. I didn't sell a single copy. Nobody bought it.
All right. That gets me mad, although I feel like we should have her on to discuss this. Because she wants to sell the book. The book sounds pretty good.
It sounds
good.
Everything she said sounded really good. But she goes, you know, these local radio hosts, all they care about. And it's not all we would care about, but it's so important. That narrative that she wants to sell in the book is only important because there was fame because of Family Ties.
And excuse me, but that deserves a mention.
Absolutely.
And you can't gloss over it.
No.
It was a number one rated show. It was on for many years.
Right.
That was her springboard.
Right. And, you know, during the interview, she pointed
shame
out that
she... Shame on her.
Now, I'm not even going to throw shame her way. I just thought, I don't want to be lumped in with other local radio talk show. Because when she's saying it, she's like, these lowlifes, all they care about is this. And I'm so much more than that. I've done other things. And she mentioned, I mean, she's done other things. She did a couple made-for-TV movies. And she did a couple other, you know, cinema movies, movies. So I know she's not just Family Ties. But to the average person who hears that name, Justine Bateman, they go, Mallory from Family Ties, right? That's what you're going to, that's the sell right there. And if you don't ask that question, anyone listening going, they just had Justine Bateman in for a half an hour, didn't even ask her about Family Ties. What's wrong with them?
That had to be talked about. So wait, now, so did Sandra Bernhardt do it? Sandra, what is it? Sandra.
Sandra Bernhardt. Sandra Bernhardt.
Oh, I got myself all confused.
Sarah Bernhardt.
Did Sandra ask about it? Is that what started it up? Or did Justine just kind of go on a rant, like giving a forewarning, like, don't ask me about Family Ties?
No, there was no... The mood of this was not, don't ask me. And to be honest with you, they kind of already discussed that. I don't remember how it came up, but... Sandra Bernhardt told a story about Justine Bateman told a story about how her mom used to be a flight attendant. This is before Justine Bateman was famous or Jason Bateman was famous. And her mom was on a flight. There was some airline that only flew New York to Los Angeles. She said the
Virgin?
Name of it. No, you know what? It was MGM Air, which I never, did you ever hear of that?
No.
I never heard of that. So they'd only flow back and forth, New York, Los Angeles. So Sandra Bernhardt was on a flight and her mom was the flight attendant and came up and said, I have two kids that want to be actors. Can you just sign an autograph for them? And she did. And she told that story. And then somehow that morphed into the story about how Justine was encouraged by Sandra Bernhardt and other actresses and said, boy, I really want to go for this. She auditioned for Family Ties. So the story of Family Ties was not left out. You can't leave it out.
You can't.
Right? But just the way she said it was, these local radio hosts, they don't care about anything about the famous years. They don't care at all about the down years. And that's part of the story. And to be honest with you, I know if she were a guest on the show,
we'd cover all of it. Yes.
Yeah.
But it certainly deserves a mention. The book's called Fame, The Hijacking of Reality.
That's it. Yeah.
Is that it? And she has acted in the years since Family Ties, making appearances on Californication, Desperate Housewives, and Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
But her fame never reached Family Ties levels again.
Mm-hmm.
When it, fame, starts leaving, it tethers into lots of things, especially how you feel about yourself or how you feel about where you fit in society. And that's what I call post-fame, when the fame goes away, which isn't really talked about that much. So in order to talk about the post-fame, you've got to talk about the fame.
That's paramount to the story. It doesn't make sense without it. And I got to be honest with you, I'm more interested in what it was like to have been famous and then what, like, imagine in your prime fame years where no matter where you go, no matter what restaurant or shop you're in, people are like, oh my God, I love you. I see you all the time. And then all of a sudden that fades away. That's got to mess with your head, right? So that's the better story, but it's not a story unless you talk about the fame part of it. It's just not.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, do you keep in touch with Michael J. Fox, anyone else from the show?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't base the whole interview on family ties.
I have in my glove compartment a book. It's called 600 Questions About Tina Yothers. And I would one after another, I would ask her Tina Yothers questions all day, every day.
We had Tina Yothers on, and Tina's a trip.
Who did? I didn't.
You weren't with me then?
No.
Oh, I've had her on a couple of times, I think with Tony Fitzpatrick, and I thought it was you and me.
No, I've never.
Yeah, she's
I've never
really
had the pleasure.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, she was in
and,
a band.
And was a lot of fun.
Right.
What
about Brian Bonsall?
No, he is unavailable.
You want to talk to him?
Mm-mm. No, he won't.
I think he's in trouble with the law, actually. I think he is.
Well, she
Mark
says...
Mark Skippy Price. Would you ask about him?
God, no.
I did stand up with him a couple of times.
That he... out over his skis, if you want to know my opinion.
Well, that's not who she dated on the show. That was Alex's friend. She
I don't
dated
know,
a guy
but
named
I mean, to do
show.
Stand-up, he
oh,
was out
stand-up?
Over his... I'm
yeah.
not a fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know, he could have changed.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm.
She doesn't miss much about fame. She doesn't miss much about the fame part of her time on Family Ties. And in case you're wondering, Bateman would like to leave the show right where it ended.
Yeah.
So it's been talked about. This is on HuffPo, talking about her book. My personal feeling about reboots is I'm very against it. So, see, that's a good question, too.
I think so. You and I have had, over the years, several guests who, right before airtime, like if they're known for one thing, it'd be like if John Wayne was a guest on the show and he goes, oh, by the way, I don't want to talk about Westerns. And then you go, uh-oh, what do we talk about with John Wayne? He doesn't want to talk about Westerns. You have, if you have somebody up selling a book or telling a story, you got to tell the whole story, don't you? You're not doing anyone justice by leaving out, if she said, yeah, I'll do the, but no mention at all, please, of Family Ties, you go, all right, how do we do that?
Well, you do the interview and it has to be mentioned, and then you say, we're not going to talk about Family Ties, but sorry, I feel funny not mentioning
yeah.
the fact that you were on Family
right.
Ties.
But she just, it was the way she like, she grouped all local radio hosts together as
Bill,
it's so simple for them to
Bill,
ask the
are
easy
you offended because you're in radio? Because I'm sorry, this radio station right here, right now, is not, you know, peaches and glory
Her?
Who works somewhere else.
Right, I know.
I mean,
I know.
Stink Eye and Pizza Face. Well, I don't know what station they are on, but...
I don't know. It was like I was telling Wingo and Trudy the other day.
See what I mean?
In Seattle. That,
And part of it is, you know, you and I are pretty genuine. I'm sorry. And we're very much the same as we are on the air as we are off.
Yeah.
And I think she'd become comfortable with us and be willing to talk.
I hope so.
A lot of these J's that
yeah.
she's being interviewed by probably have to do something that we had to do when we were on Q101, where you have to play 10 songs an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get like 40 seconds to ask a question.
Right.
So
right.
I think we should still talk
should
to her.
Should we try to get her on?
Yeah.
All right. And do I tell her this part?
No.
Leave this part out.
Well, I mean, she... It might get back to her. I don't
yeah.
care. We could say we're just puzzled because
yeah.
I wouldn't. I would just say I heard you on with Sandra. I,
yeah.
you know, I think just have Jasmine reach out and I wouldn't even mention anything. Just say,
right.
hey, you have a new book out.
Yeah.
Why don't you join our hosts? They're big fans of yours.
Yes. But
not from Family Ties.
Not from
Ties.
Family Ties. We didn't even hear of Family Ties until yesterday.
Family Ties? What's
I don't know what that?
That
is. I don't know what that is. I'm fascinated with the aspect of how fame can kind of, you know, like roller coaster up and down. I remember there was a pre-Oscar show one time. I'm trying to remember who this was who did this. Tom Cruise was with Nicole Kidman because they were during the years that they were.
It's a weird pairing.
I think they were married at the time. They must have been married at the time. So I'm trying to remember who this was. Nicole Kidman is a pretty big star, don't you think? Is now, was then. Everybody knew who Nicole Kidman was.
At that point.
So this interviewer is talking to Tom Cruise, and Nicole Kidman is being ignored, like 100% ignored. Like, they're not, they don't say her name. He's got her on his, like, they're holding each other during the interview.
But did he, was he the one who had a movie out?
Tom Cruise was nominated, I want to say, for Born on the 4th of July that year.
Well, then...
But he doesn't, like, the interviewer does 3 minutes with Tom Cruise, doesn't even, you know, the obligatory, Nicole Kidman, you look stunning, who are you wearing? Like, none of that, zero of that. It was just one question to Tom Cruise after another. Not even a, nice to see you, Nicole, zero. And I went, that's got to be hard. You're a famous person in Hollywood on Oscar night, getting zero respect on national television from an interviewer. That's crazy.
And who do you think that comes from, though? I wonder if it comes from Tom Cruise himself. Like, you know, we'll bring him by, but, you know, don't
only
talk to Nicole.
To him. And he also would not talk about Family Ties. The interviewer goes, what's your favorite episode of Family Ties? And Tom just stared him down. I'm not going to talk about Family Ties with you.
And does it bother you more when a publicist says don't bring this up or when the person themselves?
Because
I'll bet you $100, which I don't have, that a lot of time the publicist says what they know to be true.
Right.
But there's always wiggle room.
Yeah.
There is always wiggle room.
Right. Yeah, you and I have been told on several occasions, don't mention this, and we have found...
Well, you found the funnier way to do it. And my favorite one is Jacob Dylan was in the band The Wallflowers that was fairly new to the music scene.
Yeah.
His famous dad, Bob Dylan.
Yes.
And we had them in the studio with us, and I was... we were both... I was excited. You were told... We were told not to mention
several
his dad.
Several times. Not to mention his dad.
Like in emails, in person, right before we went on. So how did you go around that? Because this is my favorite.
They played a couple songs. We had a conversation. And then right at the end, I said, Jacob, we've been told to not bring this up with you, but I'm curious. Your dad is very famous musically. And what's it like to have Greg Allman as a dad? And he laughed a lot and the band laughed a lot. And we all fell in love.
We did. We could probably call him up and get him on the show again.
Sure.
But see, that's something where you're being creative and funny yet respectful.
Sure.
And I kind of think he talked about his dad, Bob Dylan, after that.
He did a bit. Yeah.
So it's just the way in which you, I think the publicist has to warn DJs.
Right. It's part of their job to make things not uncomfortable if there's something their client doesn't want to discuss.
And there's wacky DJs that do the... I can't think of what it's called when you...
The ambush interview?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you never know when that's going
to
happen.
Right. But we're not... you and I aren't trying to ambush anybody.
No, but they don't know that.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sure they're not familiar with us.
Yeah. All right. So Justine Bateman, we say yes to.
Yeah, I would talk to her.
All right. I would want to bring this up to her, though. Is that awkward? I would like to say, I'm just curious. I was listening to Sandra Bernhardt's show, and you said this... But you have to realize from our standpoint, the story is a story because you were on Family Ties. And genuinely, even though she's sick of hearing about it, for people who aren't Justine Bateman, which is everybody but Justine Bateman, you're curious about those days because you either you admired her or fell in love with her or you know. So
you think that's going to go well if you pitch it like telling her what she should do?
No, I don't think so.
I think we should talk to her and then maybe at the end go, because I'm sure we could get a little something mentioned.
Right.
And then at the very end, you can go, hey, I got to be honest with you. I was kind of scared to bring this up because I kind of heard you go off on Sandra Bernhardt about you don't want to talk about Family Ties.
Yeah.
What gives?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'll say. What gives? Mallory? All right. We'll take a quick break. Then Judy Pilak will join us and she'll give you some news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. She is with us right now. You are not going to be here when? I am going to L.A. You know, I got some work in L.A. Yeah,
season?
I got a pilot going, but I'm going to pitch.
What's the show called?
It's called Judy.
It's Young Judy. You know how Young Sheldon is popular? Young Judy. About a thrifty little girl.
The goodbye girl.
The goodbye girl. I'm just going to call it me.
So when are you leaving? I just
I'm going
know
to
when
visit my son, of course.
Not going to be with us.
That'll
I will
fun.
Not be here Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Oh,
but I will
Jude.
Be back Tuesday. Come just on. A longish weekend.
We wish you could come out to Tree Time with us.
Yeah.
I know. I seem to always be out of town.
Yeah.
But I did do this fabulous table setting, so hopefully that'll work out well. And
we're giving that away.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. You're going to want it, Wendy. It's all gold.
Is it beautiful?
It's very gold.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Gold's very in. I don't know if you know this for Christmas.
Yes.
I'm done with the green and red. It's about gold.
Silver and gold?
Silver and gold, yeah.
I like
Burl
silver.
Ives was right. That bastard.
How in the world can you call Burl Ives a bastard?
He was always right, Wendy. I never met anyone who was just always right. Except
I've never heard anyone call
Burl
him that.
I don't know that I've ever heard Bill say that.
Talking about Burl Ives.
Wow.
Shut your mouth.
Talking about Burl.
Shut the front door. You could have used a different word. We're trying to tell you that.
Well, we wish you could come out. How did your goodbye girl appearance?
We were in New Lenox.
Oh, that's
which
right.
I love. God, it was a good store. And the managers were so nice, and the store was beautiful, and people came out because I had to compete with the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 to 2. It was awesome. We were quite busy.
Good. Lines around the store.
Lines around the store. Now, we gave away Bears tickets, and that could be one reason why. And Hawks tickets.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get to go to Goodwill and browse around, a bonus is seeing Judy Pilek. You
yes,
get a piece
right?
of pizza.
I got to tell you, I was on with Dean earlier in the day just promoting it more.
Yeah.
And this lady came out just to say hi. She's like, I heard Jen Dean's.
How about that?
Yeah.
Was Burl Ives there?
Burl Ives was bastard. Not there.
Stop
but
it.
There might be a lot
You're
of.
You're going to ruin Christmas.
Burl Ives clothes and thing and things there from him. Maybe you can pick up.
Really?
No.
By the way, Judy looked awesome.
Oh, and Jazz showed up.
Oh, Jasmine
Love
came
her.
Out.
You
yeah.
did?
Very
I did.
Nice
it's right
Jasmine.
By my house, so.
Yeah.
That's. I went to one of her Goodwill appearances that was near my house, too, in Willowbrook. So.
This one, though, I did dress up. I was the mad scientist.
Oh, I saw your Facebook post.
I couldn't wait to get that makeup off when I got in the car.
Really?
I went to Dunkin' Donuts on the way.
Which
I
is
needed,
surprising because you go there
right,
every day.
Right, I did, and I needed it. I was tired because I had a wedding the night before. Anyway.
Judy, I hate to interrupt, but Dunkin'.
Right, Dunkin', sorry, because I didn't even get a donut. I just got a Dunkin' coffee.
Yep.
Anyway, so as you can imagine, I had all that makeup on.
Oh.
And the girl, she did look, she started,
scared her.
Yeah, I did, which I love. And then I said, what's the problem? I'm tired. Because I had red around my eyes, and she just laughed.
Well, because people aren't used to seeing people dressed up. Until it's Halloween.
Right.
So yeah, it's a little early.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked like I ran a lab, a really bad lab of humans. So it was fun.
Judy, thanks. A lot is being made of Donald Trump's appearance on 60 Minutes. I don't know if you got to see it or heard clips from it. A very interesting interview with Donald Trump. But one of the more fascinating aspects of the interview is as he's walking through the White House, you get to see a painting that's being has been hung on one of the walls called the Republican Club. Have you seen this painting?
Mm-hmm.
Google the painting,
Wendy.
Are they
playing poker?
It's so funny.
With dogs?
Yeah. They are not playing poker, but the picture is the painting is very reminiscent of that. You got kind of a round table going with some of your more recent and popular Republican presidents all sitting around a table. But it gives you the feeling of that felt artwork, dogs playing poker, the classic.
Are you kidding me?
That's hanging. That picture that you're looking at right now is hanging in the White House.
The artist did a great job capturing.
Andy Thomas is the artist's name.
He did a really good job. Isn't that Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy
in there?
Roosevelt is there wearing kind of modern day clothes. When we're used to seeing Teddy Roosevelt, he's wearing old timey Teddy Roosevelt clothes. But in this one, he's wearing a very smart vest.
Yeah, he looks modernized.
Yeah.
That's
Abe Lincoln
Nixon?
Is there.
Nixon looks really good.
Nixon's there. He's enjoying a laugh.
That's Nixon. He did not get Nixon's nose. It looks more like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Nixon's nose is a little elongated. So you've got Trump sitting at about, if you were looking straight on at the table, Trump is sitting at about 1 o'clock. Then standing next to him is Teddy Roosevelt. Then sitting next to him is Richard Nixon. Abe Lincoln you see primarily from the back.
Oh, yeah, but you can tell with the beard.
Yeah. Then George Bush.
W.
Yeah, the W version of George Bush is sitting to his left. Ronald Reagan, giant smile on his face, sitting to his left. George Bush, original recipe, standing above Ronald Reagan. And then
not extra crispy.
Not extra crispy Bush. And then Dwight Eisenhower is sitting between Trump and Reagan. Gerald Ford is above him. They look to be in a room, a lot of people walking around the room. It almost looks like a casino.
Yeah, but who's over Teddy Roosevelt's shoulder on the far right? I know that people are in the background, but there are some people that kind of are in focus. So right. Who is that supposed to be?
It looks like there's maybe one woman.
Is it? Could it be Calvin Coolidge? It looks very Calvin Coolidge-y
to me. I
don't
know what he looks
hey,
like.
Hey, Coolidge! And he just bursts out of the... Oh, I'm thinking of Kool-Aid, Wendy. My apologies. I think that's Calvin Coolidge. There are other people that you can kind of make out in the background that look to me like other Republican presidents that were not as popular and didn't get to sit at the quote-unquote cool kids table.
Doesn't that look like
picture?
A woman there? But it can't be because
there is a woman
there's a
there.
Suit, but she's in a suit. So.
Without a doubt, that's a woman.
Just because of the, she looks like she has Jackie O hair,
right? Yeah.
I don't know though. That could just be a
not full Jackie O hair, but
that's
it's
why
pretty
I'm not
close.
Sure it's a woman. She's not dressed.
It
like
is a woman.
Woman.
Oh,
why would
so?
There be a woman in that picture? Who is she?
To tell
someone's
the,
wife?
To tell the boys to keep it down.
All right, there's a Democratic Club edition of this print,
oh,
too.
Oh, is there? I didn't
yes,
know that.
I'm looking at it right
is
now.
Is that one also hanging in the White House?
No, but I mean, I bet it was. Well, no, because whoever was in there before probably had better taste. Where you put, this is crazy.
And what's interesting about the GOP one, Trump doesn't, he looks like a businessman.
Right.
Everyone else looks, even Teddy Roosevelt, who's got a vest on, they still look like presidential, but for some reason. And I'm very interested in the drinks they have.
Well, it's so funny you bring that up. Do you know there's been speculation about that because he, our current president, right. does not drink. So it looks like he's drinking Coke or Diet Coke. That's the color of it's caramel
right.
colored.
Yeah.
The other presidents there.
I mean, you've got the wine glass there. You've got the.
It looks like Reagan's got a Mai Tai going.
Exactly. You've got a mixed
it?
Drink there, and yeah, I wonder if it's what their favorite drinks are.
Right.
It's just interesting that it's all different. There's not. They're
Abe
not all
Lincoln
drinking wine. They're not
has,
all drinking beer.
Look at Abe Lincoln. He's got a Sunny D. I don't think they had Sunny D
no,
when Abe Lincoln
not.
Was president.
He would have loved it if they had, but no right. Sunny D then.
No, not for him.
They have another one of them playing pool.
Of the same guys?
Yeah, Lincoln and Reagan and Gerald Ford. I don't think Donald Trump's involved in that one.
Who's in the Democratic version of this picture?
That is, I'm looking at it right now, you've got Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
Who's front and center?
Barack.
Barack Obama is?
He's in the Trump seat.
Oh, he is?
And then to his left is JFK, then Clinton.
Yeah.
Then Lyndon Baines Johnson. Then, no, I don't know. I could be wrong. Truman? Is
Harry
he
Truman,
in it?
Yeah. Is he holding up a newspaper?
That's not, no.
Truman
that's,
did that all the time.
That's LBJ.
Look,
Thomas
the paper's
Jefferson.
Here.
I need help with this one. I don't know who
Hold
it
on.
Is. And you can't really see it. It's the back of his head in the gray suit coat there.
This guy?
No, that's Johnson, right?
That's Lyndon Johnson.
Right, that
this
guy.
Darius Truman.
That's,
oh, no, that's
no
Truman.
Yeah.
That's LBJ. That's Jimmy Carter.
Oh, I was right. Wait, you can't have two LBJs. Didn't you say the other one was was Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be around
Roosevelt.
The table.
Oh. Roosevelt, look at the cigarette. Roosevelt had that long cigarette holder.
Which Roosevelt?
I feel like they're going in order of history. It's the most current ones right at the table, and then they
And
go,
is that Donald Rumsfeld?
No, Rumsfeld wouldn't be in that one.
He's in the wrong picture.
I honestly don't. I got to see
is that
who
Dick
it is.
Cheney?
I can't.
Roosevelt's got the long cigarette holder. I know that because he always that was his thing.
That
the
was
long
his
cigarette
trademark,
holder.
Yeah.
Teddy
yeah.
Roosevelt?
No, Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 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 yes. That's who it is.
Teddy Roosevelt is in this one.
Right, in the Republic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't say who it is, but it's the same artist. Who'd you say it was?
His name is Andy Thomas.
Yeah, he did this one, too.
Yeah.
Why is that hanging in the White House?
A bunch of years ago, it's really, to me, it's a very, I mean, we talked about how it looks like dogs playing poker. It really is of that quality.
Right, and no offense to the artist, because he did a great job with it, but this to me is not like a masterpiece.
Right.
It's a fun little thing, you know, that you put in your man cave.
Yeah.
I guess the White House is his man cave.
It should be velvet, you know. It's, paint by numbers.
Years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the art galleries in town got in a lot of trouble because they had a piece of artwork called The Last Breakfast, and it was a parody of The Last Supper. But whereas in The Last Supper you had Jesus and all the apostles, in The Last Breakfast you had them all in the same positions, but they were all breakfast cereal icons. It was Tony the Tiger, it was Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Funny.
I thought it was hysterical, but people picketed the showing at the gallery. Well, a friend of mine said, hey, if you like this, they ran off a couple of prints that now they can't sell because it's so controversial. I can get you one. And I go, absolutely, I have to have this. I love it. So it looks just like The Last Supper, but it's all the breakfast people. So I buy it, and I show it to my wife, and I show her where we're going to hang it. And she goes, oh, no. She goes, you know, my dad would absolutely have a heart attack. And I laughed, and she goes, I'm not kidding. If my dad saw this, he would have a grabber. He would die. So
it's in the basement still?
We put it in a closet, and then somehow it magically disappeared.
A lot of your pictures have disappeared.
We've had a couple of occasions where things that I've purchased somehow get lost. Like Terry always goes, we lost it in the move.
Wasn't there lighthouse prints or something that you couldn't find?
Yeah.
Did you ever find those?
No.
Okay, no. Well, those I can see, but I hope she at least sold that and got some money for it, because that would have been worth something.
No, it just, my belief is she won't cop to it, but it just, it found itself into the garbage somehow.
That's too bad.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. I get it that there will people who will look at it that will just go, what are you doing? You're making fun of The Last Supper. But it was.
God would have laughed at that.
I like to think so.
It's like some people don't like the laughing Jesus. I love laughing Jesus.
Isn't that a great picture?
Yes.
I don't like it.
See?
That's not because it's offensive.
What do you think
like
he was laughing
Jesus
at?
I like my Jesus suffering.
Oh, no, see?
You want a Jesus
to look at it again.
Man said that about Jesus. I bet Jesus is like great. Jesus would be sitting around one of those tables. Right. The Democratic one, probably.
What do you think Jesus was laughing at?
A Kevin Hart joke?
That's a good one.
So Jesus was watching Kevin Hart's Netflix special, and he just started to laugh?
See, listen, I know Jesus smiled, and I'm kidding when I said I like my Jesus suffering. But
that's your, when you think of classic
you're sort
Jesus,
of kidding.
That's
I
the
think
Jesus.
Of kind, not suffering. I think of him kind and helpful, not like cracking up. I just don't like
You know, Jesus was a man.
Yes.
He was a man, too.
So?
So he was just like,
like any other man.
Yeah.
Things would
Why
make
do we
him laugh.
Laugh? We laugh because we're supposed to laugh. And that's
I don't like
right
the,
from Jesus' mouth
I
to ours.
I don't like the depiction of the Jesus.
God, I love it.
I always believe that it's because he just saw James the Lesser slip and fall.
Oh, the banana peel gag again. Yeah. It works every time.
Judas, no, what did you do with the banana peel?
The banana peel on the sandal.
Every time.
You go flying.
Jesus, love that.
He's laughing because he's like, oh my gosh, these people think there's a heaven.
All right, now that's terrible. I don't like it. It makes it's not
what?
A good depiction of Jesus in
it
my opinion.
It is. He looks he's so nice.
Did that
looking,
picture come out in
just,
the '60s?
He's warm. I don't know. I have a postcard like a little
that bit.
The original laughing Jesus.
Wait, let me make sure that's the right
that's
one.
That's not the one that I saw. That's a different one. The
this
one
says
I saw.
The original. Although you could put anything on the internet. It says original laughing Jesus.
I love that
that's
one.
The one you saw, Jude? Because that's different from the one I saw.
Well, it's.
That's Jesus guffawing, which he rarely did.
This is very.
That's more like
abstract-ish.
Paint by numbers, Jesus
mine
laughing.
Mine is
there's a more pure one than that.
Oh my God.
Look, it makes Jesus look like he's. Nutty.
Nutty Jesus.
Starring Jerry Lewis. Gail has called us. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I'm calling to tell you that the woman, according to on the internet, according to his paintings, if you go to his name and you go to his paintings.
And this is the Republican Club painting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
The woman in the picture is the future female president.
Oh, Nikki Haley.
That could be. Nice.
Kind of looks like her.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's it. That's an interesting twist. I never even thought about that. So she's approaching the table as if to say, someday I'll be able to sit with you guys.
Yeah.
I like that painting a lot more now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Gail, thanks
good
for
idea.
That. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wanted you to know.
Well, thanks, Gail.
Yeah, maybe me. Maybe Wendy.
It will never be me.
Oh, you don't know.
Too
Wendy.
Many skeletons.
Come on.
That same woman is in the Democratic one.
The same exact woman?
It looks almost identical.
Yeah.
Same clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A dark suit coat and dark hair.
Who do we know who wears a suit? Pantsuit.
Ah, Hillary.
Her hair is too dark.
Yeah.
And if you have too many skeletons, put them out because it's almost
Absolutely.
I love you, Gail.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye,
thank
Gail.
You.
Put
thanks.
Those skeletons out in your campaign because you can win.
I wouldn't want that job if you paid me.
Yeah.
Wendy, maybe. I have Googled Laughing Jesus, which is a strange sentence to say out loud, but I have. There's several different versions of it. I'll show you the one that I grew up with. This one, kind of in sepia tones. It looks like it looks like Jesus was at a state fair and an artist sketched him.
Yeah, that's how mine is.
Well, that I don't think is the one Judy's looking at. He looks like Zero Mostel
here's
there.
Here's the one that I saw as a kid.
You never saw that one before? That does not look like Jesus.
I don't like your Laughing Jesus. I like Bill's Laughing Jesus better.
My Laughing Jesus looks like the Jesus I grew up with, and he's just laughing. It's like the same guy with the long hair, and he's got the same features, but he's laughing, so that's why I think I love him.
The strangest thing about my Laughing Jesus
Laughing Jesus is a poser.
You think my Laughing Jesus is a poser?
I do.
Jim?
He does not look like
He's
Jesus.
He's holding his hand up by his neck, almost the way Rodney Dangerfield used to adjust his tie.
He was adjusting his robe.
Oh, I don't get any respect. Yeah. Like, Jesus would never say that.
Yes,
you don't know.
He should have.
Maybe he did.
I get no respect.
He did get no respect.
That's right.
So you're saying Rodney Dangerfield stole that from Laughing Jesus? That's impossible.
I think Laughing Jesus gave it to him. He's like,
really?
He gave him a little, yeah.
Yeah, and then Rodney thought he thought of it, but it was really, casting upon him.
The first time I ever saw this picture when I was a kid, it was in Playboy magazine because it was a fairly controversial picture at the time. Nobody ever depicted Jesus as having fun or anything even close to it by then. And then, like 2 years later, in a religion class, our teacher brought it in and showed it. And wanted to get our feelings about it, and there was only one other kid in the class, and I was like, "You got this from Playboy magazine? That's pretty cool for a religious teacher." But the reactions were so varied, much like they were here in the room, of people going, "Well, that can't be Jesus. He's laughing. Jesus wouldn't laugh at anything." To other people going, "Well, yeah, he would. Why wouldn't he?"
Yeah, it's just so weird because I mean, think about it. It's man who made the image of Jesus,
right?
There's no real actual image that we can go by, so
right.
Yeah, why is he always so dour? He did all this great stuff. He loved people.
He looks mad. He looks like the Mad Hatter laughing in this particular picture.
Do you remember when people would also talk about because of where the story of Jesus took place, like the Jesus we see is always a very white looking Jesus, and they go, he would not be.
He would have been Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
again. Because who drew
because
him?
Guys
man,
drew him.
White man drew. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, how is that painting that you did, Lady Jesus coming over? Are people buying that?
Lady Jesus.
Democratic Jesus.
Yeah.
Republican Jesus.
Yeah.
It's so funny that there's a Democratic and Republican version of that painting. I didn't know that painting existed until I saw the story. But it's just.
You know they're playing poker. They just put the cards aside for the painting.
Oh, they're doing a painting. Everybody put the cards away. We'll finish the hand as soon as they're done with the painting.
They weren't posing for it. They did it.
And you know what's interesting? They all look so good. They captured them all in their prime.
Yeah. The artist did a great job.
Yeah, he did. He made everyone look really. But like I said, to me, when I look at that, and I don't know if that's my just my own issues with, but Trump looks odd there to me.
But he looks like he's running the table, doesn't
he?
Like everybody's kind of reacting.
And it's because he doesn't have not that everyone has a suit coat on. I don't know, just the way he is with that shirt and tie, I feel like he's conducting a business scam.
Jude, pan down on the painting and you can see toilet paper on his shoe. That's the funniest thing.
And Barack Obama is the one leading the table in the Democratic version of it.
Does he have a suit on?
No.
I just lost this now. What's it called? The Republican.
It's called
Republican. Yes, the Republican Club.
Yeah, by Andy Thomas. Do you think after this they'll sell a lot more prints of that? I bet they do.
Yeah, because right? I didn't know it existed.
No, I didn't either. I can't believe how many pictures are. I googled Laughing Jesus, and I'm now on like number 400.
I know.
There's so many different versions of it.
But isn't there one common one, the one I like, where he looks really good?
No, I saw Bill's and I saw yours.
And then there are different variations of it.
The one that was your version, Judy, is the one that's getting the most
hits.
Like, there's more versions of that than any other one. But I'm really surprised, because I thought the one that I saw as a kid was the prominent one, I thought.
And I'm pretty sure that I picked that up at a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
It was a mask card,
right?
Yeah, but it wasn't a mask card, but it was by the mask card.
They used
and I was
to
like,
do
oh,
those
this
as
is
mask
so cool.
Cards.
Yeah.
Laughing Jesus mask cards?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
All right, I'm going to get one.
That's a
travesty. I want my mask card to be Laughing Jesus. And I want, like,
your
the
Jesus
words,
will be rolling
H-A.
His eyes.
I want the H-A coming out of his mouth. Ha, ha, the witch is dead.
I'll tell you, there's one guy in the Democratic club
yeah.
that I don't know who it is. I need your help here.
I don't know who it is.
You've got your Barack Obama in the Trump position, then JFK, then Clinton, then Lyndon Baines Johnson.
No, this is Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With the cigarette.
Harry Truman.
Johnson.
Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Taylor. Zachary Taylor.
Zachary Taylor? Yeah. Who's this? It looks
Herbert
like...
Hoover.
That's Herbert Hoover?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like Rumsfeld a little bit? I know he wouldn't be in there.
That's Hoover.
All right.
Every time I go to Iowa to visit my son, I can go to the Herbert Hoover
Dam.
No,
Wendy,
I have been there too.
You yelled at me for swearing.
Okay, the Hoover Dam is quite spectacular. No, I guess he was born in Iowa. Wherever I pass by, and
I look
and say to myself, "No,
no, not worth it.
How boring would that be? Whatever that is."
Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely.
To Laughing Jesus, we said hello. We'll take a quick break.
Wait, I'm gonna laugh like Jesus. Hold on.
We'll take a quick break and then close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. And that's it, Wendy. The show has come to an end. Some would say a screeching halt, but I'll just say an end.
Sorry, we were posing for a photo.
Yes, we were.
So Jasmine was in here. She can't be in two places at once.
We all did our take on the Laughing Jesus. You can see it in this month's edition of Sacrilegious Magazine.
I don't know if we're going to post it.
I don't think we
should. Judy had this great idea, but when you take a picture with your head back, it's not really flattering for any of us.
It looks bad. We look bad.
Yeah, I don't think we should post it.
Not good. That's why Justine Bateman will never be on our show.
Let's try it again tomorrow,
Bill. All right. Tomorrow, attempt number 2 for the week. We hope you'll join us. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.